Jill Anderson's a botanist and plant ecologist, and she joins us periodically to talk about phenology or what's going on in our woods and waters right now. Welcome back, Jill.
Hi.
Well, Jill, I suffer a bit from arachnophobia, but if you must, fill me in on crab spiders.
Okay.
I don't exactly know what they are.
Oh, okay. Well, they're inconspicuous. So,
oh, good.
Yeah, so for an arachnophobe, maybe not quite as troubling as some of our other much more conspicuous spiders are. Crab spiders, as their name suggests, resemble small crabs. This is loosely speaking now, right? And they're small spiders, less than a half an inch. The female's bigger than the male's, but less than a half inch long, wide. And they're fairly, they're not perfectly round, but they're roundish, kind of more teardrop shaped, but not real pointy at the narrow end. They have longer front legs than hind legs, very powerful, and they're sedentary hunters that do not use a web. So they rely on hiding in plain sight to capture their prey. So these are the small spiders that sit right on a flower, right on the face of a flower, or at the lip of a flower if it's something that has a is more tubular. Or sometimes they'll even just sit right on the stem of a plant, on the green stem of a plant, and kind of look like a flower themselves. So we have, I think we have three species of crab spiders, but the only one that I feel like I see regularly or notice regularly, I guess, is called the goldenrod crab spider. I'll talk a little bit more about that one in particular, but know that there is the northern crab spider, and I think a third one that I don't think I've ever seen. But this goldenrod crab spider is called the goldenrod crab spider. Say that 10 times fast. because it can be that bright yellow gold of goldenrods. But because, as I said, they need to hide in plain sight, crab spiders have the capacity to change color. So if they're sitting on a goldenrod inflorescence, then they'll, or the middle of a daisy, for instance, that are bright yellow gold, they use of the visual cue of what is around them in terms of color to slowly change color to match their surroundings. And they have three color potential colors. They can be that bright gold yellow. They can be white. So that's pretty advantageous, right? And they can be kind of a pale green color. And they don't rely on chromatophores, which in their skin, which is what, say, an octopus uses to change colors and create these wild patterns that they do to hide themselves, camouflage themselves, or a lizard, like a chameleon, uses to change color. They actually create pigment. Their bodies manufacture pigment, and then they diffuse it into the skin. So it isn't something that can happen in minutes or, you know, hours. It might take 3 days or so for a spider to achieve a color, sometimes much longer, depending upon, you know, her overall health and vigor. So once a female spider has mated, and that's usually fairly early because the males, when they come out, they mature quickly and they mate as soon as they can find a female. The females, once their eggs are fertilized, will pick a spot for hunting because their purpose at that point is to have as many protein meals as they can to help their eggs mature and to get ready to lay their eggs. So they pick a spot and they manufacture a pigment that matches their spot, and then they hide there. And they're very successful at blending in. And as soon as some unsuspecting insect comes, sometimes much larger than them, butterflies. I mean, these are little spiders, and they'll take something like a butterfly that's quite a bit larger than they are. They have very powerful back legs that they will hang on to the plant with. And as another insect comes to feed at that flower, they grab it with these longer, powerful front legs. They grab it, and then they have small mouth parts, fangs that they jab the insect with and inject a paralyzing venom with. And as, once they've done that, then they can, they don't need to use their legs anymore. They can just hang on with all their legs. And the venom paralyzes the insect. They just hang on then with their jaws. And that venom liquefies the internal portion of their prey. And then they use their mouth parts to suck that liquid out. That's their protein meal. So they're very inconspicuous, but I do see them pretty regularly because I, for both at home, but also just for work, I'm often looking closely at the flowers of different plants. And so I do see them. The males are quite a bit smaller than the females. They're a third to a quarter the size of a female. So I don't, maybe I've seen a male, but they're few and far between. The females will be, as I said, you know, eating to boost their protein feeding over the summer. And this month, around this time in August, they'll be ready to lay their eggs. And they pick a leaf and just kind of close it up with some silk into a little package that they lay their eggs inside. They lay their eggs on it, and then they wrap it over it to make a little package. And then they actually stand guard over their eggs until they die. And once the spiders have, the little spiders have hatched, are out and hatched, then they disperse, and they spend the winter in the leaf litter, another creature that relies on the leaf litter to make it through the winter. And then in spring, those are the crab spiders of next year, who come out and start to take their places in the flowers.
Jill Anderson regularly fills us in on current events in the woods. Thanks for helping us understand those little crab spiders.
You're welcome.